All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Asham, take two. Mark.
Set up.
Set.
And action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn.
And we're going to discuss a bunch of things, eventually. Cool. Alita Battle Angel.
Alita Battle Angel.
Yeah. But of course, we've got news and stuff to get before we head there. Before we go any further, we have one follow-up thing from last time. I believe there was a mention of something about the Batman.
The Batman.
Yeah. Did you ever figure that out?
I did not. We're gonna have to string that one along another week.
Okay. So maybe next week we'll have news on this alleged the Batman trailer that exists out there. After the episode last time, we went looking for it. We couldn't find anything real.
I wonder if I imagined the whole thing. That would be awesome.
Well, if it was actually good.
It was amazing.
Well, getting into real news, and I know this is probably like at the top of your list of everything.
God, I hope it's Dune. God, I hope there's Dune news.
Did you want Dune news this week? Because I got some for you.
Tell me.
Josh Brolin, he's been cast as Gurney Halleck.
Okay.
Which I'm down with. I know that's a very important character for you.
Sure, yeah.
I also found out that, this is older news, but I found out that Rebecca Ferguson is playing Jessica Atreides, and I had to look up who she was. Do you know who she is?
No.
She's the girl who's in the Mission Impossible movies, like the new love interest.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, she's a good actress. I, again, one of those actresses that you don't know their, by their name
yeah. yet.
But they're in a lot of stuff.
By the way, just for the record, that happens to me all the time. Pretty much every time I'm done watching a movie, I need to go look up who that was. And where did I see them? And what were they in? And that
right.
happens to me every time.
Well, along the lines of casting news for Dune, Jason Momoa might be cast as Duncan Idaho, another incredibly important character to you.
I think it's pronounced Mimosa.
Jason Mimosa.
A lot of people don't know that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do we have to drink mimosas while
right,
watching
this? Yes.
And to round out the Dune News extravaganza, we have a release date of November 2020.
Whoa. Wait a minute. Isn't that the same as the Avatar release date? What?
Is this another Avatar 4 hidden in disguise?
We're going to be predicting that there's no Dune movie. It's really the new Avatar.
The whole way through.
We're going to refer to it as the Drew Schaefer method. The marketing.
It's the only way to be safe.
Yeah.
If you always expect it, you'll never be surprised.
There you go.
Well, look, that's like my birthday month, so I'm basically taking this as a gift
right.
from the Herbert family. other movie news out there to talk about. Did you remember the movie Kung Fu Hustle?
Yes.
Did you like it?
Sure.
Okay. There's a Kung Fu yeah. Hustle 2 movie in development. Do you think there needed to be a
Does
second
Does this
one?
Involve pandas? Is there going to be a panda? Because if so, I'm on board.
Well, from what I understand, it has... I guess two characters coming back, like the lady that was like the hit from the other one, the old lady.
Yeah,
I forget something. Ma is going to be back, and some other character. I always get this movie and Kung Pao confused in my head.
Yeah,
because they came out like at the same time, and they're both ridiculous.
Right. No, this absolutely falls in the category of. I don't even want to use the word great. Last time I struggled to use the word iconic. We were talking about Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and I said, it's not really iconic, but it is sort of, it stands there. And to me, Kung Fu Hustle is absolutely in that category. Like, it's great. I don't want to take anything away from it, but I don't think it needs a sequel.
Yeah.
And but
it's,
whatever.
It's like 9 years too late.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Also, we have Mark Webb, directed Spider-Man, The Amazing Spider-Man. I think both of them. He's directing the Americanized live-action version of Your Name.
Hmm.
Do you know about this movie?
No, no.
It was a really big hit animated, Japanese anime film. It's quite good. I've showed it to people who don't like anime, and they're like, wow, that was amazing. I don't know how it'll turn out, Americanized live action.
Hmm.
It's not like, although it involves like a sci-fi premise, it's not sci-fi heavy. It's very low-key, modernized. It's about a young boy and a young girl who wake up when they switch bodies occasionally. Like, I forget how it's determined, but they'll just wake up in each other's
Like body. Freaky Friday?
Yeah, it's basically Freaky Friday.
Or Big.
Well, it only lasts a day. And then when they go to sleep, they wake up back in their body the next day. And so they leave notes for each other and like how they experience life and stuff. And
they're
really far apart. So anyway, it's a very interesting concept. Who's behind? I think is it James Gunn? No, who's the one who's doing Star Wars? The big guy behind Star Wars.
George Lucas?
No. He did The Force Awakens.
I'm blank.
Is it Gunn? He did Star Trek. Anyway, I think he's behind it.
I know who you mean. No. I'm thinking of...
Gunn was Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right,
so
right.
This is J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, but he did Star Trek, not Star Wars.
Didn't he?
He did not do any Star Wars. He did Star Trek, the new, like the 2009 Star Trek, which I loved. And I wished he would have really sort of, I wish that was like a proper franchise. Like they should, like modern day Star Trek. Like, and I was so excited about it because I'm not a big Trekkie. I'm a Star Wars guy. And I know you can be both, whatever. But, you know, your natural instinct is one or the other. And I'm naturally inclined to be a Star Wars guy. And so I watched Star Trek in 2009 and I was like, oh, that's whatever. You know, but then I saw it and I was like, whoa, that was great. I was so into it. And I felt like I was sort of on board with the whole Star Trek thing for the first time. And I was super excited. And then I felt like it didn't really maintain, you know, it didn't continue the positive energy, the momentum. It just wasn't there. It was goofball for me. So I'm back to whatever for Star Trek.
I'm a big Trekkie and I agree. It floundered. Like, I'm kind of upset that they're not doing the fourth one. Now they officially called it off. Yeah. But at the same time, like, I don't know if I really want them to keep going down this road.
So, you know what's funny is, going down, I'll hang out in the lobby at one of the Penn Cinema locations and talking to a customer or whatever. And inevitably, if I do it long enough, somebody comes up to me and they want to start talking to me about Star Trek. And sometimes I, play along and just be polite and nice. And then sometimes... Just to sort of see what would happen, I tell them, I'm not really into Star Trek. And their little minds get blown. And they're like, ah, what do you mean you're not into Star Trek? You know? So, but I am into Star Trek, and I think I would love to see J.J. Abrams do more. I would love to see more big movies from him.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm pretty sure he's the one who's behind this. So hopefully it works out.
Maybe he can save the Batman.
Maybe he's behind the Batman. Dun, dun. Well, here's an interesting thing. Pirates of the Caribbean.
J.J. Abrams is doing Pirates of the Caribbean?
He's doing everything these
Let's
days.
Start that rumor. That'd be great.
Lens flares galore. You thought this. Did you think this series was dead?
Yeah.
I thought it was dead.
I love it. I love that it's not dead, but to me, it's kind of like Mission Impossible. I love it, and I'm thrilled that there's another one coming, but I can't believe there's another one coming. Like, what?
Well, the Deadpool writers, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, they're no longer on board for the Pirates reboot.
Is Johnny Depp's on board? That's all that matters.
Well, I'm pretty sure he is.
Yeah.
Is this one going to have him in it? Have you heard?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Just like Tom Cruise. He's
always...
Yeah.
Always in it.
He doesn't age.
All right. I mean, I'd be interested to see what happens. I feel like the very last one had an interesting premise, but I don't know. It was missing something for me.
Yeah.
With the kids, like it was like everyone's related. That's made the world too small.
Yeah.
For me, but the storyline was okay.
I've loved all of them. I agree. The last one wasn't the best one, but I'm a fan. I'm sort of. You know how like you're a fan of some franchises. Where you're so much of a fan that even the movies that kind of suck, you're like, oh, that was awesome. Just because you liked hearing the music and, you know, you sort of loved being in that universe for 2 hours. And, like, even if the movie's not great, you're still like, oh, that was awesome.
That's me in Star Wars.
Like an easy critic. That's, yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah. Well, that's basically what I had for news this week. Not a whole ton of things going on, just kind of rumors and stuff.
Well, there was one big franchise that got some news. Nothing too concrete, but James Bond. The new James Bond kicks up, and it got pushed back to 2020. I believe it was going to be in May of 2020, got pushed back to November. So that'll be interesting. And that also, I should have written down who the new director is, but it got sort of new writer. Somebody's, you know, totally redoing the whole script. But I'm excited I think Daniel Craig has another, at least, the difference between him and Johnny Depp / Tom Cruise is that Daniel Craig really is still young enough to be performing it, you know, to be pulling it off.
Yeah.
And, you know, how many has he done? I think it's four now. You know, so I think he can do five, and then they can find a new James Bond. But I love James Bond. The first movie we ever played at Penn Cinema in Lititz was Casino Royale, which holds up as one of my favorite movies, definitely my favorite Bond movie. So, yeah, I'm excited for James Bond news.
They're having a lot of trouble with this one, aren't they?
Yeah, they just seem to sort of have spun their wheels a little bit, and I think that's why there's a new writer in. Could be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love the Bond franchise. I love what they've been doing with Daniel Craig. I hope they keep going.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll see more. It's there. Moving forward, how did things go this weekend? Anything interesting hit up at the theaters?
We need like sound effects for this podcast. If we had sound effects, I would cue the womp womp. So, I mean, it was fine, whatever. You know, locally, we sort of saw it was a little bit slower, but just, you know, for national news, like, it was the slowest President's Day weekend in the box office since 2004. So
really?
15 years, this was the worst President's Day weekend ever. So, for example, now I'll explain why. So the statistic sounds worse than it is, but here's what happened. In 2019, the President's Day box office weekend was less than half of the 2018 President's Day weekend. Do you remember what opened last President's Day weekend?
Ghostbusters?
What, David?
I don't know.
Ew.
Independence Day.
Independence Day in 2018.
Yeah, I'm spitballing here.
Yeah. No. I'll give you a hint. It was the biggest movie or one of the biggest movies of 2018 and our vote for Best Picture.
Well, oh, Black Panther.
Yeah, we were riding high on the Black Panther ride.
And it was still half of the year
before. It was still on its way to that massive gross. So it didn't open President's Day weekend, but on President's Day weekend, it was still the number one picture and carried that weekend to the point where this year we couldn't even get halfway to what Black Panther carried last year.
Wow.
So whatever. I mean, what we've learned in the movie business is every time we have a bad weekend like this or a couple bad weekends, like January of 2019 has been really bad, somebody's going to write a couple articles, you know, in like the Hollywood Reporter, the New York Times, whatever, all about how the movie business is dying, you know, and how nobody goes to movies anymore. You know, movie theaters are closing and it's the end of the world. And we've been through this, you know, we've been open 12 years. We've been through this at least six times, you know. And then what happens is you sort of bounce back and it's a very cyclical business. And so it's really funny how many times we get pronounced dead. but then, you know, the next thing you know, you have a couple good weeks and all of a sudden everyone's writing about how the movies are the central part of America and blah, blah, blah.
It's almost like the content affects the turnout.
What?
It's so what?
Crazy.
Who would have?
David.
Did I just blow your mind?
Whoa.
Quick, call up the studios. I have news.
this just in. No, I actually, it's funny that you would say that because you like took the words right out of my mouth. I often, like when I get asked to talk in public about the movie business and people frequently, when we get to the question and answer part, people ask like, you know, so how does the economy affect it? How does, you know, who's president affect it? World news, you know, that kind of stuff. And I always say exactly what you just said. Like people, there's an entire cottage industry of people who make money reading the tea leaves and interpreting why the business goes up and down. But to me, it's entirely based on when there's good movies, lots of people go to the movie theater. When there's not good movies, fewer people go to the movie theater. So yeah, I agree. It's almost like the content matters.
Wow. Groundbreaking stuff here. So what were the big performers this weekend?
Well, our number one movie was Alita: Battle Angel.
Not.
Isn't it romantic? Right. No. So, speaking of breaking news, it turns out there really is a movie called Alita: Battle Angel.
We're all shocked.
Right. We were shook, and they actually did put it out there. But that was the big movie. But last week I posed the question: Can Rebel Wilson carry her own movie? And yeah, the answer is yes, she can. I mean, she's not breaking any records or whatever, but she has a romantic comedy out this week called Isn't It Romantic? And we should talk about it. We should maybe next week put it on our agenda.
Yeah.
This is a short movie. It's under an hour and a half. It's like PG-13, I believe. And it did really well. People really responded to it. I came in here Friday night and deleted some extra showtimes and added some extra showtimes for Isn't It Romantic because of the demand for it.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's legit. And I think Rebel Wilson makes the case. And I believe she's featured in at least one of the movies that we're going to talk about in a minute on our trailers.
Yeah.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. I mean, The Hustle. But yeah, so that was our weekend, was Alita and Isn't It Romantic. And of course, Lego Movie still, is a significant, it's not top dog anymore, but it's still doing well. What's interesting to me about Lego Movie is it didn't get great numbers opening weekend, but it's holding strong. And what we're hearing, in our lobbies, is that people love it. It's a lot of fun. People are really enjoying it. So that's consistent with what you and I experienced. Mm. Not that it's groundbreaking or earth-shattering or anything, but fun. Great
for kids.
Great fun movie. Yeah. So, yeah.
Tell me, I'm curious, because we got to have a 3-day weekend here for, students with President's Day. But how does Valentine's Day affect the theater, because we just had it.
Yeah.
Is it like a big night, or is it kind of like a dead?
No. It definitely gives you a little bump. It's busier than a normal. The only thing that I really hate is when Valentine, and I know all the restaurants are the same way. We all hate it. A couple years ago, Valentine's Day fell on a Saturday night, and that's the worst, because now you're taking what should be a good busy Saturday and you're diluting it, because some people, are going out to, other Valentine's Day plans. But with it falling in the middle of the week like it did this year, from the movie business, it gives us a little bump up. So it's not like a real legit holiday, but it's definitely, you see a spike. It's not the opposite where you see a dip. You definitely see a little bit of a spike. It's nothing that's going to move the needle, but it's a good bump, because what happens is when I schedule the shows, so normally I would schedule them between 6 and 8, pretty evenly scheduled. PM, of course. And what I do on Valentine's Day is I wait. I try to put extra shows of the romantic comedies in and extra shows of the whatever's sort of making national news, whatever's getting headlines. And then I run them a little bit later than normal. So, 6:30, 7, 7:30, 8. Maybe there's an 8:30. This year we had a 9 o'clock. So that people, and they do this, they'll make dinner plans and then come out and see a movie after dinner.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people, I don't know how correct this is, do dinner in a movie as a date night type thing. And it's curious to see how many people would do that on Valentine's Day or do something different.
Right. Definitely dinner in a movie is a popular, I would just say anecdotally, here, in our theaters, we see that because, like I said, we get a spike on Valentine's Day.
Huh,
good stuff.
Well, let's move on to trailers, man. Couple came out. A lot of last week we had a lot of superhero stuff. We don't seem to have that. We got a lot of music stuff this time around.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and start with
Let It Go.
Frozen 2. Did you see the trailer for Frozen 2?
I did.
Okay. Yep. You've seen all the trailers we're talking about,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
I haven't seen Frozen. I hear it's great.
Wait, what?
I haven't seen Frozen.
You mean lately?
Ever.
Whoa.
I need to see it.
Whoa.
Apparently.
Stop what you're talking about.
I know. I need to see Frozen. I watched, of course, all these trailers, but Frozen 2's trailer looks so incredibly epic. I don't know what the premise, I know what the premise is in the first one, but I don't know how epic it is. But this whole trailer looks like a Lord of the Rings style, just epic.
I think Frozen 2 is going to attempt, we talked about this with Lego Movie, how hard it is for a sequel to live up to the first one. And I think Frozen, which that's a high freaking bar.
Yeah.
You know, 'cause Frozen, as you know, was massive. It's unbelievable. And so to try to live up to that is going to be a tough, it's going to be a tall order. And I think they're making a real go for it. I think there's a serious team involved, and Disney's 100% committed to it, full on. So I share your opinion about the trailer. I thought the trailer was a lot of fun. And I think this is going to be, this is going to attempt, you know, to live up to the first one. It's definitely not like The Hangover 2, which is like in my mind like a cash grab.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
It's not like, oh, let's make a sequel and make some money. I think they had a real strong storyline and real people committed to doing it right. Yeah, I think Frozen 2 is going to be a big movie.
Yeah, from what I saw in the trailer, it didn't look like it was like redoing anything
right.
or anything. Like not a lot of times, but sometimes these Disney movies will be almost the same story, just kind of like
right.
they'll just turn one little thing. And yeah, so I'd say I'm on board for fine. I got to watch the first one, but I'm on board with this trailer. So, of course, keeping it with family friendly, let's go ahead and go to completely not family friendly and talk about Ma.
Whoa.
did this one kind of throw you for a loop?
Yeah, this is, I mean, this movie wasn't even on my radar, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
So when I tuned into the trailer, I had no idea what we were getting into. And I know it's from the people who did Get Out, and I know it's creepy, and it's obviously, you know, some kind of a train wreck. I think it looks great. I think it looks scary as hell, and I think it's going to be fun to see. Is it Olivia Spencer? Is that her name?
I can't remember her name. She's in The Help.
Yeah.
She's a great actress.
It'll be fun to see her do, like, horror.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What was that movie with the guy, it's like a classic with Kathy Bates, and he breaks his foot, and she, like, takes care of him, but then she wrecks him again.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
I keep
you thinking, can picture him.
Yeah. In my head, I'm thinking The English Patient, but it's not it at all.
It's like The English Patient, but not at all.
Not at all. But I know what you're talking about, though. She takes care of him, but then she hurts him to keep him there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a classic movie, and we're just too stupid to remember it.
What I enjoyed about this trailer, because it is super creepy, it doesn't look scary as much as it just looks really creepy to
right.
me, is that always with these like teen things, you think, where are the parents? Like, why aren't the parents involved? And even in the trailer, they're like, oh, hey, yeah. Like, the parents are like, we know this lady.
We went to high school with her.
And they're like kind of confronting her, and she's kind of playing the parents too. That's when I was like, well, this is going to be really creepy.
Yeah. Misery, 1990.
There you go.
Misery is the one. Yeah. I love movies like this where there's, you can tell from the trailer, it appears to be sort of a revenge theme, you know, and a revenge theme for something that is at the outset perhaps unclear.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to see that.
Okay. So that was our one horror. We had like tons of horror last time. Those are one horror for this time. Let's take a look at comedy. We have two this week. The Long Shot. Thoughts on this? You think it'll perform from the trailer?
I saw Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron.
Uh-huh.
I saw them on Ellen.
Okay.
I'm a big fan of Ellen.
Okay.
Kayla and I watch Ellen pretty regularly. We DVR it, watch it. And we're fans. I'm not embarrassed to say I love watching Ellen.
Ellen's great.
And their interview, their you know, performance on Ellen was great. And I think the movie is going to be, how do I put this? It's going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I'm going to watch it. I'm looking forward to watching it. It's probably a $20 million movie, maybe a $15 million movie that goes on to make $40 million, you know, something like that. And so for me, as a theater owner, to me, this is like bread and butter. Like, it's going to support a weekend, you know, and we'll put it in our big theater and it'll get a lot of dates and people will like it. I did not see anything in the trailer that made me think this was a special movie. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The kind that's going to catch the country's imagination and really, everyone's going to be talking about it, you know. But I do think it's going to be a good, I mean, how can you go wrong? The two of them are great. I'm a big fan of both of them. So, Yeah. So, I mean, I'm on board, but I don't think it's going to be anything special.
I agree with you. I think when I watched it, I thought this is a filler movie.
Right.
And I didn't mean that in a bad way. Just like, I really don't know who this is applying to that's going to rush out to see it. Like, I could see people being like, let's go to the movie with what's out. I don't know. Here's
no,
this
it's,
movie.
I know exactly
it.
Who it's for. It's for dates and, okay. and teenagers and you know, the Seth Rogen crowd, you know, the female crowd, it's like, it reminded me a little bit of Knocked Up, you know,
okay.
you know, where you have, you know, a sort of goofy guy with an incredibly beautiful woman, you know, and then comedy ensues, you know, and it's that old formula. And I have no problem with that formula, but that's why I say, like, it's going to be good. It's going to be funny. I'll probably watch it and I'll probably enjoy it. And then a year after, I won't remember it.
I like how they are kind of, it's that trope, but then they're kind of making fun of it. They say it's Pretty Woman, but reverse.
Right.
She's Richard Greer. And he's...
Sometimes I get a little bit turned off when movies are too self-aware. Like if it takes me out of the movie, you know, and maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. We'll see. Sometimes it's fun to have a wink. What do they call it? Like breaking the fourth wall.
Uh-huh.
It's fun, you know, to have a little wink and a nod. The best one ever, of course, is Belushi in Animal House, you know, when he's leaned up against the sorority house on the ladder and he's like hopping over to look in the girl's window while she's getting undressed. And then he turns around to the camera and like raises his eyebrows like, hey, isn't this great? You know, and that I remember seeing that. That was sort of one of the first times that I ever noticed the actor breaking the wall, the fourth wall, they call it. And so it can be cool. It can be kind of a fun thing. But I hope that they're not trying to be too cute about it.
Well, moving on to our second comedy trailer of the week, The Hustle. And you said, what did you say this was?
This is The History of Disco. The 1970s. No, I said this is, and I know I'm not the first person to say this, but if you've seen the trailer, you can't help, and I think it's on purpose. It's not, nobody's trying to hide anything, but this is Dirty Rotten Scoundrels with Steve Martin and I forget who he co-starred with. But it's a great premise. It's funny, and it's... You know, it's kind of like Ocean's 8 or the Ghostbusters, you know, they're taking a good, funny movie and redoing it with a female cast.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on board. I think it looks fun. Again, Rebel Wilson is awesome. Anne Hathaway is awesome. I loved Anne Hathaway in Ocean's 8. That's to me, that's The Hustle. Did you tell me Steve Martin was involved in this movie?
No, I think when you mentioned him, I was asking you if he was producing.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. I don't think he is. But yeah. that would have made me feel a little bit better about it if he was. I'm sure it'll be good. The trailer's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good funny. One thing that I saw online, which I agreed with, was somebody made the comment, it's looking forward to seeing Rebel Wilson play Rebel Wilson again. You know what I mean? So kind of like Amy Schumer, you know, you love that she goes away from her bread and butter, but it's always fun to see them sort of come back to what made you fall in love with them in the first place.
Right. And I'm a big Anne Hathaway fan, so I think I'm on board. I like the comedy that I saw. I hope that it pans out and keeps up that, like...
Isn't that always? I mean, every comedy I've ever seen, I've gone into it thinking, boy... I hope this is as funny as a trailer. Like that's what, like, you hope every single time I walk into a comedy, I'm thinking to myself, I hope they didn't put all the funny bits in the trailer. And the good ones they didn't, and the bad ones they did.
Both of them are surprisingly, well, Rebel Wilson is very good, but Anne Hathaway kind of surprised me with her character acting.
Yeah.
And I think putting them together could
be fun.
Yeah, kind of like what they did with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy, how they kind of like mixed together really well.
Yeah.
So. Okay, now we have two musical themed things coming up. Teen Spirit. This is a movie about basically, I guess, a British version of American Idol. You can make it to the top. Ellie Fanning. Yeah. I believe you didn't even finish this trailer. Halfway through, you were like, what's The Hustle about?
Here's where I land on this movie. this is I'm not the audience, and I have no idea if I'll see it or not. The thing. So sometimes I'm way I know this is going to come as a shock to you, but sometimes I'm way wrong about what? Movies. Like the most famous example ever was Amy and I watched the pilot episode of Friends, the all-time epic sitcom. And at the conclusion, we were like, oh, that was good. And I was like, I didn't really like it. I don't think it's going to make it. And that began my long storied history of being way off on on my instincts. But what gives me hope, so on the one hand, like I don't have any interest in this or any real enthusiasm for it, with the exception of the fact that it was produced by the guys behind the team, the people behind La La Land. And I loved La La Land. I got caught up in the craze. Everybody loved it. I was no exception. I watched it two or three times, which, as you know, I watched it in the theater two or three times, which, as you know, is really saying a lot, because I try to see a lot of different movies. So when I carve out time to see a movie, I don't often see a movie twice. But I did see this because I just loved it so much. So if they are bringing some real magic, you know, if there's a better storyline here than just following, you know, American Idol in England, then it could really be something special. So I sort of holding out some hope, and I'm hoping that as the title comes closer and as we get closer to it. And didn't you tell me it's a Bleecker Street title too,
yeah,
and LD Entertainment? And Bleecker Street has some winners, LD has some losers. I don't mean any disrespect by that, but that's just, you know, when I look at who's distributing the movie,
right,
you know, I sort of, you can't help but, you know, sort of have that, like, scars from, you know, dogs that they've foisted on you in the past. So Teen Spirit, I'm like, whatever. But this other musical, Yesterday.
Well, let me tell you what I think about Teen Spirit before you steamroll straight over me.
Oh,
my thanks, Ben.
I couldn't imagine that you had anything to say about it, because it shows you what I think about it. The thought never crossed my mind
that
you would have an opinion about Teen Spirit.
I actually am curious. I like the music that at the end, you get there, but at the end they show all the different acts that have music in it. And I was really turned on by a lot of those, like Ellie Goulding, Robin. I can't remember some of the other ones, but there's like a whole bunch of lists. And obviously, I think they're using that to sell what probably isn't that great of a film, but it piqued my interest.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well.
So
you're piqued.
I'm piqued. Not as much as I am about this next movie, which looks genuinely good, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
So you want to go ahead with this
one? No, please, by all means.
It's called Yesterday. And the premise of this film is there's a guy who's a big Beatles fan who's trying to make it as a singer-songwriter and can't. Yeah. He gets hit by a car. Yep. Wakes up, and nobody knows who the Beatles are. Except for him. And so he starts singing the Beatles music, and like he takes off in fame.
David, we have to talk about this movie, but before we do,
yeah,
what would happen if you got hit by a car and when you came to, nobody else in the entire world ever heard of Dune? What would you do? Would you write it?
I'd have to.
Oh my God, it would be your soul. It would be like your obligation.
Yeah.
It would be like your debt is the wrong word, but like, you know.
I have to bring this to the world.
Yes. It would be your burden. That's the word I was looking for. It'd be like your obligation, your burden. Like, oh, you have to bring this story to light.
Because I would have to get it right.
That's a lot of pressure.
That's a lot, especially with Dune.
What if it was Josh Brolin that hit you with the car?
I'd have a lot of questions about what he was doing here.
What he was doing in Lititz.
Yeah. What did you do? Why? Why?
All right. So this guy gets hit by a car. And when he comes to, nobody else in the world has ever heard of the Beatles.
Right. And so he starts playing the songs and getting kind of famous from playing them. And then the trailer alludes, and other people claim that they created the music, but you know, I mean, I don't know if you're supposed to think that they're the Beatles or not.
Oh, no, you're absolutely supposed to, because the one guy's barefoot like Paul on Abbey Road.
Yeah, that's what I thought, but I was like, I don't know what they're kind of really getting.
I would love it if the main character of this movie was named Billy Shears. Which, if you're a Beatles fan, you get the joke from the Magical Mystery Tour album. Sergeant Pepper's.
I really like the casting in this film. Lily James. I think she is fantastic.
Oh, she's the best.
And I like that they've kind of like girl next doored her.
Yep.
Really well. The main actor, he seems really funny.
I think you could ruin this movie with some like A-list celebrity slash actor. Like if you had put Seth Rogen or even like a Paul Rudd or, you know, somebody who when you're watching the movie, you're thinking of them.
You'd expect more of their typical comedy.
I think this cast is ready to bring you a fresh story. I think this movie looks incredible.
Yeah. I think it looks, there's a scene where he's playing Hey Jude. I think it's Hey Jude. He's playing a song for his parents and their friend.
Yeah.
And he gets a call. He's like, we're here listening to this new song.
You know, the dad's on the phone going, we're listening to the boy's new song. It's called Leave It Be.
Yeah.
And the son's like, it's Let It Be, Dad.
Yeah. I'm really on board for this one. I think it looks genuinely.
Do you remember that when it comes out? I forgot to look.
I don't remember.
Yeah. It's going to be a good one, though. I'm going to make sure to go to this screening where this is going to be a fun one.
Cool.
I love movies like that with like some fresh, you know, new storyline.
Yeah. I don't feel like this is, I mean, I guess, I don't know. The headlines I keep seeing for it is Time Traveler steals the Beatles' music, but I was like, the trailer doesn't really say anything about that.
Yeah.
He just hits his head and he wakes up.
Yeah.
I mean, basically it's the same as Isn't It Romantic?
It's similar, yeah. You
know? So, same. So, we'll see. So now, are you ready for spoiler territory to get into our meat and potatoes of this episode?
Yes.
Okay, so spoilers abound. Alita, Battle Angel, came out this weekend. Not Avatar 2.
Once we got over that disappointment.
Yeah. These aren't the Na'vi. What's going on here?
So this is fun. So just to let our listeners paint a picture here.
Okay.
I saw this movie the night that it opened. So like it was a Thursday opening and we had a special, like they called it a fan event, which had like a question and answer. And I saw this movie with an audience, which I don't always do, but it's worth noting, on opening night.
Okay.
So when I saw this movie, I had no idea what kind of news, like whether or not it was going to be a flop or a hit or like what. But I just took it in fresh because sometimes when I see movies, I feel like if I wait till after opening weekend, my experience is really tainted by the success or failure at the box office.
Okay.
David, on the other hand, literally just saw this movie. And he walked from the IMAX up to my office and sat down and started doing this podcast, which is what's fun about that is I'm sitting here. I have no idea if he liked it or not.
This is
really great. He walked in the office and I said, don't say anything. Let's talk about something else because I really wanted to hear what you had. So here we are in front of everybody. What were your thoughts?
I'm so confused.
Oh, no.
I'm so confused. Visually amazing. Especially in IMAX, like when she gets her first body and like one of the details I picked up is like the shell wasn't complete. Like you could see inside and see like
wires,
and gears and stuff. That was really cool.
Do you think, not to interrupt your flow, but on this same topic, do you think this qualifies as a movie that really needs to be seen in IMAX? I do.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest with you. I tell people when it's not. But I think this movie deserves to be seen in IMAX.
I would say if this is a movie that interests you, go see it in IMAX. Don't, if you want to see it in 3D especially, go see it in IMAX.
So on a side note, and I feel like I'm interrupting your thoughts, but since you mentioned 3D, Penn Cinema did something really that we never, or that we don't hardly do anymore. If you saw this movie at Penn Cinema, you saw it in 3D, which is, we really felt like, James Cameron and the whole 20th Century Fox team made such a big commitment to 3D that we really wanted to respect that experience.
Yeah.
And so every single show that we did of this movie, now eventually we'll start moving it to smaller theaters and it'll go 2D, but we really committed to the 3D. So did you think the 3D, you said visually it was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, I didn't feel like the 3D jumped out to me, but it added a lot of depth to some of the like details, which I thought was really cool. Some of the robot parts and that kind of thing. Some of the action was good. It kind of did things that I wasn't expecting. And and went some places I wasn't expecting. Now, plot-wise, I felt like it was... I guess maybe because I knew I was doing something right after the movie, in my head I was thinking, like, well, they've got to move forward eventually. Like, why isn't this, like, moving forward? Like, this movie's not, like, forever long. And then it does kind of end... I guess you could say it's a cliffhanger. It's not like there's a ton of... it's like the journey is beginning.
Right.
Type of ending.
It was... Would you call it an origin?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was definitely an origin thing where they, you know, she's solved the immediate problem, but of course there's a bigger world problem.
Right.
To go. I thought the girl who plays, what's it, Rosa Salazar?
Yep. Or
whatever. I thought she was fantastic. I'm glad the boyfriend's dead. I hated him.
Oh, I think he comes back.
You do?
I don't think he's dead.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's possible. He's a cyborg now.
Well, they dropped him in from that city into the graveyard, and that's the same place that Christoph Waltz found her at the beginning of the movie.
That's true. And when he fell into clouds, and he didn't see anything.
I definitely think, I'm not saying that he comes back in the sequel, but I definitely think if some writer somewhere wants him in a sequel, if the actor can negotiate his contract correctly, then the door is open for him to come back if that lends itself.
Right. I guess other than it just kind of being a little slower than I expected, I don't really have any problems with the movie. Really. It's a weird...
That's a hell of an endorsement.
Yeah. That's that's why I say I'm confused, because it's not like... I feel like the audience for this is very niche. Not every action person's going to want to watch this. And I think maybe it might be a little bit more harder sci-fi for some. I don't know. That's my opinion.
I totally disagree.
It's very weird. You didn't think it was very weird?
It's a little weird. I totally disagree. I think that my nephew, he would like it. I think he's 10.
You
know,
okay.
I sort of put myself in a young kid's, you know, mindset, which is it's not like a long trip for me. But, I disagree. I thought it moved. I thought it moved well. I thought the action was amazing. I had a little bit of a problem with our boy Christoph Waltz, who I love. I mean, I'm a fan. I wish we could just call him Christopher. You let us call you David. You don't make us call you Davey, Davy, or David.
Well,
David.
Maybe after this week, Dave.
David. So I thought he kind of took away from some of the fight. I didn't like him in the fight sequences. But I thought the rest of the team was great. I thought the 3D was unbelievable. And I'm not if I'm playing the movie in 3D and 2D, and I have the choice, I'll go watch it in 2D. I'll always choose 2D over, but I wanted to see what this 3D was all about, and I thought it was really great. I thought it was way more appealing. I didn't see it as niche or hard science fiction at all.
Really?
I thought he had the best line. Maybe it wasn't the best line, but it was like a little bit of a joke was when he said, there's your brain. It's perfectly normal teenage girl's brain. And then he says, like, as if there is such a thing, you know, like a little fun, like a little joke, not disrespectful or anything. But and I felt like her coming of age and her quest to find herself is such a universal theme. You know, it's such an element of so many classic great movies. Who am I? I mean, Luke Skywalker, that's the essence of, you know, episode 4. His entire thing is like, who am I? Of course, he had the whole father issue, and, you know, Alita has the father issue. Maybe, I don't know if Darth Vader turns out to be her dad or not, but that would be cool.
It's a weird tie-in.
It's a weird tie-in. No, but I do think that was a theme that was easy to follow.
Okay.
You know, so if you're just an average person, you don't really know the background of this movie, you don't know who James Cameron is, you don't know who Robert Rodriguez is, you don't care. But you're just looking for a fun movie. I think the action was there. And what's it about? It's about this girl who wakes up and doesn't know who she is, and she gets this warrior body, and she kicks ass, and turns out that she has a whole nother level of problems, which we're going to get to in the sequel.
Right.
And I think you can sort of summarize it that quickly. So I'm on. I thought it was. I didn't think it was niche at all.
So you're definitely on board.
100%.
Okay. I almost need to let it cook a little bit more. I think if you were to ask me right now if I'm on board, I'll say yes. I'm on board. I felt like it drug out a little bit, but overall it was a decent film.
I feel like you're only on board because you can't think of anything you didn't like about it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I like. There's something about it that I'm like I shouldn't like this, but and maybe it's because I was pre-condemning it as a flop beforehand.
My journey on this movie, I went the entire spectrum on this because Drew and I think you remember, we made fun of this movie from the get-go.
Yeah.
We were like, this is a joke. It's going to turn out to be Avatar. And the more content I saw, the more I was like, this is a pretty serious film. James Cameron's no joke. And even though he didn't direct it, he was very much involved. You know, this is very much a James Cameron movie. And Robert Rodriguez did a great job. I wonder if you would have liked it more if you had seen the question and answer with the cast and Cameron and Rodriguez. And, you know, to hear their discussions about what went into it was, you know, pretty neat.
Yeah.
And I love James Cameron's attention to detail. You know, the other thing that kind of has nothing to do with whether you liked it or not, but I liked this element was the whole rollerball or murderball or whatever that is.
Yeah. Okay. So the motorball.
Motorball.
Yeah. They were really hyping this up in ads. And I thought, this is the part of the movie where I'm going to check out. I was wrong. This is the part of the movie where I was most checked in.
Yeah.
And I thought the action in there was great. I thought the designs, the character designs were really cool. It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
You could have used more. You wanted more motorball.
I think there could have been a little bit more action and a little bit less of what was at the beginning, I think. Just
did you like the street scene with the motorball when they were when the kids were practicing in the city? And the one guy like stiffed her, but then she came back the next round and kicked his ass.
Yeah, I feel like there was a purposeful establishment of what was going on,
right?
And needed. It didn't do much for me, but
you know what? It did a lot for me because one of my favorite movies is Ellen Page in Whip It.
Oh.
You remember that movie?
Yeah.
And that whole storyline was, you know, it's so reminiscent of that, you know. And I felt like, you know, this is going to be great. And I thought they did really good. And it also had nothing to do, but just because the movie made such an impression on me because I was so young. One of the first movies I ever saw, I saw by accident, Slapshot.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Right? That awful, like, dumb comedy, but it's funny. And that for some reason, Slapshot came to mind during the motorball scene, just because they're so sort of, like, ridiculous, you know, in a great way.
Yeah. I guess one of the things that I kind of bounced out on is, like, her boyfriend gets accused of murder, like, instantly.
Right.
I don't know.
My problem with that scene was not that he got accused of murder instantly because it's a corrupt system that they're living in. My problem with that scene was how all of a sudden Alita was like, I can't believe you, like, she just bought into it. She didn't, like, if all of a sudden I was accused of murder, Amy would be like, there's no way. You know, or at the bare minimum, she's like, honey, what'd you do? You know what I mean? Like, she would want some sort of, like, she would check in with me. Yeah. She wouldn't all of a sudden be like, oh, my God, you killed someone? You know, which is essentially what Alita did. You know, so that I thought, I agree with you for different reasons. I thought that scene could have been better.
It wasn't like the bad guy was like, he killed someone. It was like an ad on the wall of something that happened, like, 10 minutes prior
ago.
And I was like, wait, what? But I don't know. I'd definitely watch a sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the things that I wanted to learn about will be in the sequel. And that was Edward Norton
at the end,
wasn't it?
Yes,
it
was.
He's like my all-time favorite actor.
Yes.
And I know that he does not take roles lightly. So I'm interested to see like what was about this that really got him in.
Yeah, I know the answer to that.
Money.
James Cameron.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you're a good, solid actor who cares about the movies, and you had an opportunity to do a James Cameron, Robert Rodriguez movie,
you're gonna take it.
You're gonna take it. I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, Robert Rodriguez knows what he's doing. He's,
yeah.
He can make a wide gamut of film and do well on all different spectrums. So I guess from us, we're on board with this movie.
We are on board. I think what the question that it leaves me with is, so we're sitting here doing this podcast at the conclusion of its opening weekend.
Yeah.
And it'll be really interesting to see how the movie holds up, because I believe that this movie was not really well received by critics, but had a really strong audience rating on the tomato meter, so to speak. So if this movie can hold strong next week, the big movie is going to be How to Train Your Dragon. That'll obviously be the number one movie. There's a few other sort of smaller movies coming out. But if Alita can hold on and be the number two movie due to positive word of mouth, it gets another week in IMAX. So that's good.
Uh-huh.
If it sort of holds up and gets some good legs, that's what we call it in the business when it sticks around for a while. If it can get some legs, then I think we'll definitely get a sequel. If it doesn't, then it will just be another James Cameron practicing for Avatar movie.
Which movie is really Avatar? That'll just keep going on forever.
Yeah, and of course we're sitting here making jokes about the Avatar, but I think there's a serious comment to be made, which is that I mean it when I say this is James Cameron like trying out new technology, new 3D practices for Avatar, because that's what he's all about, which is rightly so. So I think this is sort of, as he's perfecting his Avatar world, this was an opportunity for him to practice that and see how it played out.
Well, there you have it. We're on board. What are we going to look into next week?
How to Train Your Dragon. Oh, no, we were talking about the big movie next week is How to Train Your Dragon.
Yeah.
But let's get a little lighter.
Okay.
Go like a romantic comedy.
Okay, so you're thinking we'll do, Isn't It Romantic?
Rebel Wilson.
Wilson. Yeah. All right, let's do it. Isn't It Romantic will be what we're discussing next week. If you've seen it, or if you want to comment on Alita, email us at podcast@penncinema.com. And we did get some feedback this week. And it was from Rob, who wrote in, and he said, wouldn't it be great if you guys did Dune news every week? And he was hoping that we'd have a theme song for it. I don't know if we'll have a theme song, but I am going to try my hardest to scrounge up the most minuscule Dune news to bring to the table every week for Penn, because I know how invested he is. We have a long journey till this movie comes out.
Oh, my God. So wait a minute. I need to touch base on a couple things. First of all, I feel like I'm just spitballing here.
Yeah.
But I feel like you know so much about Dune. You could almost do like your own Dune podcast. Like a podcast just about Dune news.
Well, okay.
Do you think you could pull that off?
So I do have another podcast called the Dune Saga Podcast. Who would have known? DuneSagaPodcast.com, where we went through and reviewed the books in chronological order. But starting this month, we're going to be doing probably at least starting out, it'll be quarterly news updates.
Gotcha.
On the show. And we do have a connection to Brian Herbert, Frank Herbert's son, so we're hoping to have him back on to talk about the movie.
Because you've done some pretty serious, I mean, you've been invited to some serious places. You've been acknowledged and respected and sort of validated for a legit, you know, the Dune franchise is aware of you guys.
Yeah. They were really supportive of us as we were running. Once we finished the books, we kind of ran out of content.
Right.
We're still around. The fan base is still contacts us about, like, you know, what are you going to talk about this? We've been waiting for like a substantial amount of news to come out for us to be able to carry a decent conversation. There's right. three hosts, and you know, you don't want to just trickle out a 5-minute thing every week when people are wanting like more meat to the bone.
I'm starting a new Alita podcast.
frame by frame.
So the first thing I wanted to comment on was your Dune podcast. The other thing that I want to comment on that I think is funny is how you act like the only feedback we got from listeners was this one dude that was like, you should talk about Dune. So like, we get all these comments and all this feedback, and the only one that David wants to recognize, or like, it may be the only one that he was actually able to even see.
It's possible.
It's Dune about Dune.
So, all right, give me some of this other feedback that we have to share.
No, I mean, I'm not trying to say that there has to be like specific feedback, but the last time we did the episode, after the third episode, we're doing the fourth episode right now, and after the third episode, we sort of went live with, you know, some promotion, and you know, we put it out on Facebook and stuff like that, and we got a lot of very positive feedback saying we enjoyed listening to you, I enjoyed this, you know, you guys are really funny, and one guy was like, oh, I'd love to just sit and chat and talk movies with you guys. And so I'm not trying to insert myself into the news segment and say like, you know, anything, but please, if you're listening, please, and you have something to say about Dune, by all means, let us know. But don't let the Dune dude be the only guy with some specific question or opinion or comment. I have another question for you. So The spoiler thing, right? Alita, uh-huh. Right? So if you're listening to this podcast and you haven't seen the movie yet, and then you hear David say, like, spoilers beware, how do you know when to tune back in? So in other words, like, have we lost all of them? They're all gone now? Like, we're saying...
Are you out there?
This is trippy. Like, if you're not listening, raise your hand.
I guess we have to decide what we want to do there.
Yeah.
We could talk about it. I mean, if it was a video, it'd be a lot easier to put, like, a link to a time code. But, well, let's talk off the air. We'll figure it out.
Or we'll just have to be like, sucks for you.
Because I do have, it's not finished yet, but I am working on a little clip-in for Watch Out for Spoilers, like, thing that I'll insert.
That'd be cool.
So, I don't know if that'll be in this episode or not, but we'll see. So, I guess moving on from listener feedback, Dune feedback. What have you been reading, watching, taking in this week outside of the movies?
Well, I don't want to repeat myself, but I do have a little bit of news.
Oh.
Last week, we talked about, I was inspired by, you had said you were watching Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So that was like week two. So week three, I reported like, oh, I started watching Kimmy Schmidt again and how much I love it. Well, here we are in week four and I got news. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Grandma Robin and Papa Peter tuned in. It took a little bit. We had to get Grandma up to speed, you know, because I sold her on it by saying, like, you know, it takes place in New York City. This lady that was in a bunker, you know, finally got out of the bunker, and now she's in New York, and comedy ensues because she doesn't know what's going on. And so the first episode starts, and it's at the beginning of the first episode, she's in the bunker, and my mom goes, I thought you said this took place in New York City. And I was like,
instantly.
Right, exactly, immediately. And Kayla's in the background going, just watch it. You know? So, yeah, so we got a whole new audience.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And then also rewatching, because I loved it so much, I was obsessed with it, Russian Doll.
Oh, wow.
Which, you know, it's, again, you know, to watch something a second time says a lot for me.
Now, did you get into Maniac? I know people were pushing you about it.
I was getting pushed about it. And in fairness, Maniac and Roma.
Okay.
I gave both of them another crack.
Okay.
And failed.
And they cracked
both
you.
Of them. Yes. Roma, I fast-forwarded just to sort of see what happens at the end. And Maniac, I just turned off. Here's the thing with Maniac, and I don't know if you feel this way, but I have come across shows on Netflix or Prime or any of these sort of new worlds, and I feel like the premise is really interesting and really cool, but there's like diversions. Like, so I stuck with Maniac long enough to get to where they're like in the testing thing, and I sort of get it. It's cool that they hop around a little bit, kind of like Tarantino style. Mm-hmm. And that's cool. But I started to believe that I was never going to really be informed about what's going on. And I didn't have enough patience. I didn't care enough. And Jonah Hill, I'm like, whatever. I mean, I love him, but geez, you know, give me a break.
Yeah. Well,
Are you going to try it? You're loving it? Or
what? I haven't watched Maniac yet.
Okay. Don't bother.
Because of that, I look at the trailers, like, I don't know if I'll ever get it. This looks like one of those things that will just never have give me, like, full answers.
Right. Right. Exactly.
But I almost started Russian Doll this week because of your recommendation. Yeah. And I am planning on watching it. I did get pulled into The Umbrella Academy, which came out this week on Netflix. And I am a big fan. It's two graphic novels. I'm a big fan of The Umbrella Academy. I think it was written by mainly a guy, I think, is it Matchbox 20? No, like, I can't remember. He's a singer from like a pop rock band.
Yeah.
And he came up with the idea for this. And it's the comic is very, very wacky, very, very weird. And they tried to make a Netflix series of it. And for the most part, it works. My only gripe with it is they kind of string you along with mysteries. I feel like too long. And I don't know if it's because I already know the answer and I just want them to get there, or if it's...
You're so impatient, Dave.
I know. I'm literally the worst. I don't know what my deal is. And that being said, like, I haven't stopped watching it because they've changed stuff in it to be different from the books enough that, like, I'm kind of curious as to where they're going, as to that kind of stuff. There are things that, like, aren't explained that are really bugging me, because I don't know that I could introduce it to someone and be like, here's, just drop you in this world and be like, we'll just deal with the fact that there's a talking monkey in a suit, like, they that's like a butler, like, they never explain that, where in the books it's like the it's kind of like an X-Men type thing where the main guy developed a process to evolve primate minds really quickly, and as a result now there's like a subspecies of chimpanzees all over, like, working regular jobs, being cops and stuff. And they don't, there's just one in the series. And you can tell it was probably he's very well done. It was probably very expensive to put him in it.
Yeah.
And so he's only in like key scenes.
Yeah.
But so if you want something weird, check out The Umbrella Academy. It's a great story. Definitely worth checking out. Also, after the high from Free Solo,
oh yeah,
I went and watched The Dawn Wall, and it's good. It's not as good as Free Solo,
right?
Because it's not as quite as scary or whatever. But these guys spent 3 weeks on the side of that mountain,
yeah,
trying to climb. Have you seen this?
Yeah,
it was good. It was good. I enjoyed it.
And I agree 100% with your assessment. It's really good until you see Free Solo, and then you're like, huh?
Yeah, yeah, because this guy was also in Free Solo,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't really go into his background or that he was missing a finger. They just kind of mentioned that he had already done The Other Side at that point.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. Check it out. It's not as good as Free Solo. Watch that one first, I guess. And then I'm still reading Cibola Byrne, James Osei-Khoury, for the Orbital Sword podcast. And I'm enjoying it. Not as much as the other ones, but pretty good.
Very nice.
So that's my wrap up.
I don't have much else to contribute. I read two books since we last spoke.
Oh, wow.
One was called The Crawl of Fame,
okay,
about Julie Moss, who's one of the, a lot of people say she's the first famous Ironman triathlete. In 1982, she was on the ABC Wide World of Sports crawling across the finish line. And she sort of became iconic in that sense. Her book was okay. It was like, whatever. If you're obsessed with Ironman, then I recommend reading the book. If you're not, then skip it. But there's another book which is also way more fascinating, called Endure by Alex Hutchinson, which really looks at, in an interesting way. Did you ever read Tipping Point? There's some really interesting books. Malcolm Gladwell sort of has a really interesting way of taking statistics and scientific facts and weaving stories around them to make them really relatable and interesting. And this guy, Alex, did that as it relates to endurance athletes.
Okay.
So not just sprinters or Ironman or triathlons, but also like guys who explore the Arctic or climb Everest or free solo, you know, or, you know, rock climbing and stuff like that. So this book, Endure, really interesting, all the little scientific elements that go into some of the physical stunts that people do.
Wow.
Pretty neat. Pretty good stuff.
I'll have you know, I got a ton of slack for saying how much you didn't read last week.
Who'd you get slack from?
Let's just call her my mom.
I like to say, I don't want to name names, but it rhymes with my mom.
You always say that, it doesn't mean it.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So, well,
thanks, Mom. I appreciate that. I really appreciate that, looking out for me. Somebody's got it.
Oh, man. Well, I think that just about wraps us up this week. Anything else on your side?
Nope.
Cool. Well, next time we'll be talking about Isn't It Romantic? So, again, go ahead and email us in or comment on Facebook or wherever else you can find Penn Cinema. We'll get that all in here. And so, once again, I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.